Hello, and thanks for joining us on The Week in Review. I'm Amanda Vinicky. Will he stay or will he go?
But I think I'm the most qualified person to run for president. I beat him once, and I will beat him again.
President Joe Biden vows to stay in the race for the White House as a small but growing chorus of his fellow Democrats publicly call on him to call it a career.
He just has to step down because he can't win.
Biden defenders say that kind of talk is playing into the hands of former President Donald Trump.
My takeaway is great sadness that we are not having a conversation about the fact that we have two people running for president. One of them has a record that anybody would be proud to have, and the other one is an adjudicated rapist, a twice impeached, convicted felon.
Democratic National Convention hosts Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson and Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker are sticking by the president.
There's only one person in this country who has ever defeated Donald Trump.
I'm all in for Joe Biden. Joe Biden's going to be the nominee of the Democratic Party. I'm going to go out there and wholeheartedly campaign for him.
What does Pritzker, believed to have his own presidential ambitions, really think? He was caught on a hot mic.
We're just going to keep fighting. I don't know what to say. You know, I gotta do what we have to do. I don't like where we are, but...
Meanwhile, with the Republican National Convention set to begin Monday, Republicans wait for Trump's VP pick. And the Illinois Republican Party has a new leader. The outgoing party chair was chased away by infighting, leaving a tough job for the new chairwoman Republicans just chose earlier today.
And now to talk about all that and more, our Week in Review panel. Joining us are Tamon Bradley of WGN News, our very own Heather Sharon of WTTW News, Marianne Ahern of NBC5 Chicago, and Craig Delamore of WBBM News Radio. Now let's get to it. Biden not quitting the race yet? Craig, will he?
I think he wants to stay in and may indeed, unless something happens with his health that is more serious than anything now. I think he's in it but the problem is, how much can he campaign when all of the talk is about whether or not he's going to stay in?
Marianne, what are you hearing?
It's amazing that here we are in July talking about this. It should have been a year ago, if not more. And because we are still talking every time he comes out. So last night, the press conference, not so bad. Yes, misidentified Kamala Harris as Trump. But other than that, yes, command of the language, took multiple questions, all of that.
But serious on foreign policy.
Absolutely. But every time are we, oh, wait, is it what? So we're not talking about the issues. We're not talking about the contrast between himself and Trump. I do think that there's likely that he's still going to go.
Going to go as in leave the race.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, I kind of agree with Marianne. You know, think about where we started on Monday, the president calling in to Morning Joe, sounding caffeinated and very excited about staying in the race, defiant despite the calls.
But maybe he's just a morning guy.
Well, and he likes that show, apparently. He watches religiously, but... you know, it looked like we'd maybe turn the page and he was going to get back on offense, but then you started to have members of Congress express their concerns. Hakeem Jeffries, the House Speaker, meeting with the president last night and then sending out a letter that he had addressed his concerns without getting to the specifics about what he talked about. And then Nancy Pelosi also going on Morning Joe, sort of saying we need to give the president time to make up his mind, even though the president said he'd made up his mind, he's staying in the race. They apparently are going to have a private conversation. I just don't see how this goes away. Marianne's right that the president was much better in his news conference last night, but there were gaffes, there were mistakes, not just calling Kamala Harris Vice President Trump, also confusing Volodymyr Zelensky with Vladimir Putin. And age remains the key issue. And then the other thing is the president says if he sees any data from his campaign advisors saying that he can't win, he'll get out. Where is the data saying that he can't? What's the path? That has not been identified. Lawmakers want to see that. And until, you know, the poll numbers move or it's clear that the American people are buying into what he's arguing, I still think there's a chance he exits.
Heather.
Well, he had a little bit of good news on the polling front today. NPR and Marist had a poll showing him within the margin of error against Trump nationwide. Of course, the issue is the swing states because we do not elect presidents by a national popular vote. It's the Electoral College. So there's no doubt that there is now more emphasis on the so-called blue wall, which is, again, why the conventions are in Milwaukee next week with the Republicans and in Chicago in just about a month or so, because those swing states of Michigan and Wisconsin and Pennsylvania are just going to be key, as it looks like perhaps the Sun Belt states are moving further away from Biden.
Craig, is there anything that the president can do at this point to clear this bar, to clear these questions?
I think he has to keep doing what he's doing. The problem is, frankly, part of the problem is how we are covering it. We are covering this as a story as opposed to a decision that the voters have to make. I mean, take even the disastrous debate. Anyone who didn't actually see that debate probably has no idea what either man said about policy, because none of the coverage focused on foreign policy or drug policy. No, all of the focus was on who was more, you know, cogent. And that's a problem. If we don't cover it as a choice that people are making, and if the only choice we're giving them is between someone who is having trouble cognitively versus someone like Donald Trump, well, then I'm not sure that he can do anything.
I do think, though, that the Biden team planned, said, let's have an early debate. They wanted to put out there, at least that's what we've been told, that he's up for this. He can do this. He's strong. And yet you think, okay, yeah, if you prepped him and saw what was going on, I mean, and if we do believe the George Clooney letter, which he wrote and said, yeah, that's the same guy I saw at this fundraiser. Where have these people been for the last 8-9 months? Why is this going on today?
So is this to say, I want to step into both of these things. First of all, so is this to say something that maybe the Democrats almost deserve, that they should have had more candidates enter the primary, that Biden shouldn't have been sort of the heir apparent to running for a second term as the candidate, Heather?
Well, nobody stepped up to run, right? Gavin Newsom, governor of California, J.B. Pritzker. They could have thrown their hat in the ring and made this argument 6 months or a year ago.
Of course, it's not, because
every presidential election where you've had a sitting incumbent challenged by a member of their own party has spelled complete doom, and that is a clear pattern.
So is this on Biden?
For not saying, hey, you know what, let's turn away? I think that his theory of the case is that he is the only person who has ever beaten Donald Trump, so that it would have been foolhardy for him to step away and sort of say, well, it's the next guy or girl's term. But the problem is I think that, you know, sort of culturally, nationwide, we're all so tired of being stuck in 2016 and 2020 and the pandemic that there's just this sort of sense of, oh, my gosh, I cannot believe this. We're seeing this rerun of the show again. I did not like it the first time. I do not want to live it the second time. And so there's just this sort of fear and this sort of like frustration and exhaustion that this is sort of what's happening. And, you know, I don't necessarily know. I believe the Trump campaign saying that they want to run against Biden. They fear Kamala Harris. They fear another candidate. But the fact of the matter is that Joe Biden said, we're going to do this again. The question is whether the country really wants to do it.
To Heather's point, there's great anxiety about Kamala Harris. People are uncertain. When she ran for president, it was not a good campaign. And she's had a shaky start, staff turnover at the White House. She was put in charge of the border. That didn't go well in terms of how that was covered. And then there are these clips, you know, there's a Republican effort to put little clips of her with her, you know, famous line, you know, what can be when unburdened by what's come before or whatever it is.
Are you going to fall out of the coconut tree?
Well, listen, so, but she certainly is a skilled politician, but people just aren't sure because the stakes are so high. But, you know, to the point of the debate, and as Craig was talking about with the focus, the frame coming out of it, the president's age, I've heard from a lot of people that said, okay, the president gave the worst debate performance in the history of debates. People say Donald Trump gave the second worst debate performance. A lot of people, their takeaway was, oh my gosh, all these lies. Okay, Joe Biden is old, but there were a lot of lies, and why is he talking like that? And then Democrats have effectively started to turn attention to Project 2025. And so, you know, but the problem is you don't want this to be, if you're Biden, to be about his age and whether or not he's up to the job. He's got to get past that at some point.
So to Craig's point, is some of this being fomented by journalists that were fixating
Absolutely.
On...
Oh, 100%. Yeah. And yes. To our own fault as well. I mean, I'm speaking for myself. He recently spoke in Racine. As I'm looking through, trying to find something that the president says that's cogent, mm-hmm. it took a while Did I say that in my story? Did I say that day? I had a hard time finding something really clear from the president. No, I didn't. I just picked whatever was the clearest that I could find and went on.
In terms of sowing the right viewers, giving them.
And Trump has certainly benefited from that dynamic as well, because his speeches are so discursive, and you want to be careful and not repeating untruths or sort of giving.
Same deal.
So you try to find the thing that makes the most sense. And the question is whether we are actually doing the public a disservice by doing that. But Craig's point is really well taken. Are we covering the stakes of this election? Democracy.
Are
we too focused on the odds? Will Biden step down? Will he won't step down? If he does, who will replace him? That sort of horse race coverage, I think that's something we all struggle with.
And are we holding Joe Biden to a different standard,
correct,
right? So Donald Trump is a convicted felon.
And an adjudicated rapist, as we heard the governor say. And Sean Cass invited almost as many gaffes
in his speech.
So you know what, Craig, I'm going to jump in because we actually have a clip of that. I wanted to get to that because Biden himself has admitted that he had a poor performance at that debate a couple of weeks ago. But Trump, after all, just a few years younger than Biden, and he has his own moments. Let's take a look.
We are a nation that just recently heard that Saudi Arabia and Russia will repeat. This is the greatest movement in the history of our country, maybe in the history of any country. Even Argentina, they went MAGA. You know Argentina, great guy. He's a big Trump guy. He loves Trump. I love him because he loves Trump. What do you call
Venezuela? Did you just see Maduro? Venezuela, it's unbelievable.
So, Craig, to you, an example, I think, of what you were about to say. Trump makes his own gaffes. Why is that not a bigger storyline?
Because not only do reporters kind of expect that kind of thing from Donald Trump, but so do his supporters. If you go to his supporters and say, Donald Trump doesn't make sense sometimes, they'll go, that's him. And you say, but he tells lies. Yeah, he exaggerates. Yeah, I mean, there are different expectations for the candidates. So for Donald Trump, it's a matter of how strong he looks and can you do the fact check? With Joe Biden, it's how does he look? How's he walking? Did he make a mistake? It's not an intention, but it is kind of falling into a pattern.
So now that we've had this discussion, how do you approach your coverage going forward, Marianne?
I know. I do think that we have to double check ourselves and say, all right, are we covering the issues as well as the personalities? Television, unfortunately, does get caught up in personality coverage. And as we head to the Republican National Convention this week, I think issues should dominate. But will we be able to juggle what else is going on? And I think the Biden dilemma is going to also be a running theme through the Republican convention.
I mean, as you noted, George Clooney has weighed in. Does this make a difference, though, Taman?
No disrespect to George Clooney, but I think we ought to talk to real voters. We ought to talk to people who live in the battleground states and the people who will be at the conventions, frankly, the grassroots, because, you know, we ought to focus a little bit on the people who still support Joe Biden. You know, Jim Clyburn has said a couple different things, but his latest position is, you know, I'll have his back, and if it's Kamala Harris, I'll have her back. You know, black voters, as of this morning, there were no black members of Congress who were calling for the president to exit the race. And so he still has support. And maybe to Craig's point about Trump, Biden voters need to get used to seeing the senior moments that the White House sort of hid from us. And I don't understand for the life of me why the president doesn't just say, well, okay, yeah, I'm old. I don't say stuff right, but this guy's a liar. He doesn't seem to. Maybe it's pride.
He's,
you know, I think he's aware that he's.
Of that.
He needs to do a lot more of that.
Can I just say on George Clooney that was also Barack Obama to me. I mean, they're very close. There's no way that letter was not, and people have reported this, that at least he was aware of it. And while it is George Clooney, where is Barack Obama? Where has he been? He did speak after the day after, or within 48 hours. He and Bill Clinton haven't heard a word since. Silence speaks for itself to me.
And this is certainly a time that the world would be listening to what 100%. He has to say. What about, however, what some of the three Illinois congressmen, we've got a trio now of U.S. House Democrats from Illinois, who say that Biden should step down. Does their point of view matter?
I think it matters, but I think it's fascinating that those three members of Congress are members of the moderate wing. We have not heard that from Delia Ramirez or Jesus Chuy Garcia or any of the progressive stalwarts, and I think that is telling because time and again, Biden sort of has this image as being sort of a moderate, being from like the, you know, more conservative wing of the Democratic Party. But time and time again, since he took office, it's been the progressives who have backed him both on his big infrastructure plan and sort of his other initiatives, and they are the ones who have been in full step behind him, while the more moderate wing seems to be running a little bit scared.
And why might that be? I mean, you think Eric Sorensen, who is from the Quad Cities area, looks to have a tight race in the general election, but Quigley, Congressman Quigley, does not per se. What's going on there?
But Quigley is one of the tacticians in the party, and this is where I can understand where they're coming from, because these are people, they're worrying about people down the ballot. And frankly, the people down the ballot are worrying too. And you can kind of understand that, that if they're in a tight race and they lose, you know, a bit of their base, well, that's the race for them. Biden can lose some altitude and still win, but they might not be able to. So, yeah, I see the fear.
The political calculus behind it. Marianne, you spoke with Congressman Quigley.
Governor Pritt, I did speak to Congressman Quigley today, and he is still, he says it's done. Mm-hmm. It's a matter of time. It's over. We shall see. But for those who have not said anything, to me, that's, they're also to not speak is a decision as well. Pritzker and Mayor Johnson have been adamant and have said yes, even though we did, you have the video of the off mic. It wasn't that bad.
I mean, no, say, he said
similar stuff to us.
He didn't say, oh my God, this is awful.
It's the least hot mic moment I've ever heard.
The problem is calling it a hype mic.
For the others not to say.
Well, maybe they're waiting. You know, obviously, look, if President Obama comes out, right, we're all going to listen and it will matter. This is not the time. Let the Republicans say whatever they're going to say next week. And then you've still, and perhaps this really is still being sorted out, you know? We should believe them when they say we want to see what the president, is he up to the task? Maybe they actually want to see how he's doing.
But what could the plan B possibly be? I mean, is this a moment for Kamala Harris, for Governor Pritzker to step up?
Kamala Harris has to be the first one. Yes, you have to. She's the vice president.
That's why you have a vice president.
Yes,
right?
Yes. You have to say it's Kamala Harris's turn.
Yeah, but she doesn't need to step up because, quite frankly, anyone who wants Kamala Harris to be president of the United States probably wants Joe Biden to be reelected, and if he doesn't serve all 4 years, she becomes president without having to do anything. So why get out there and start battling unless you really have to?
True, but if he does step aside, she's the first choice.
She has to be.
Just sort of logistically, it would be problematic for another candidate to take control of the Biden-Harris campaign funds. There will be all sorts of potential ballot challenges. We know that the Republicans are not afraid of litigating these sort of issues in the court. The problem is exactly what Craig said. Okay, all right, not Biden, sure. What's plan B? And nobody's been able to articulate that in any clear way, which is why you hear people like Pritzker and Gavin Newsom and Gretchen Whitmer of Michigan saying, nope, it's Biden until he tells me otherwise.
Until he tells them otherwise. But what about Pritzker's political future? He clearly has his ambition set on this. Is this a moment for him? Come on.
So he's having a moment, right, because we're paying attention to him. He's able to go on CNN. We want to know what he thinks. And, you know, in the first couple of days after the debate, there was sort of, well, I have questions. You know, Joe Biden's got to get out there more. And then he went to the White House and didn't have a lot to say. And when he finally summoned us to a news conference, you know, it was more like, well, I'm supporting Joe Biden. He's our nominee. Some could say he could have been even stronger in that support, but he is out. He's going to Indiana and he's going to Ohio. He's angling this. He would love to jump in. I'm sure he could make the argument, I can self-finance. I just don't envision that. You know, the James Carvilles of the world have said, why don't we have a mini primary? Don't just anoint Kamala Harris. I think that's unrealistic.
Yeah. Somebody's been watching too much West Wing. That's all I got to say.
I don't know if there's any such thing, but you're right. There's a TV show.
Yeah, somebody has never paid for an election. Yeah. Do you know how many millions of dollars it costs for that?
So we've got about 5 minutes left. Let's move Democrats behind for a wee bit because, of course, we've got the Republican National Convention coming up,
Monday.
And we're going to be heading to Milwaukee. Yay. I know a lot of us. So what are you going to be watching for, Heather?
Well, the big question is, who is going to be Trump's running mate? This is the first time since 1980. 88 that we do not know what the full ticket is before beginning the convention. You know, I think the betting money has moved to Ohio Senator J.D. Vance, who is the support of Donald Trump Jr., but we won't know for sure until Wednesday because the Republicans changed the rules, allowing Trump to have a little bit more time to sort of create that made-for-TV spectacle that we all remember so well from the first term, to sort of gin up that sort of excitement about who is it going to be. And, of course, there's Marco Rubio and Doug Burgum of North Dakota. I think it's unlikely that it will be Marco Rubio because he would have to resign from the United States Senate and move out of Florida to avoid an Electoral College issue. But you know what? We don't make predictions.
Stranger things have happened.
Pass an abortion ban, too. And it's so unlike Donald Trump to go with an obvious choice. Maybe Ben Carson or some wild card like that. Who knows?
We really don't know. This is, by the way, of course, a city that the president called horrible just last month. Former president, that is. Doesn't he need Wisconsin to win, though, Craig?
He does. And you know what? If Republicans in Wisconsin will completely forget about any disses that he threw at Milwaukee, because frankly, some of them probably don't like Milwaukee that much either. But frankly, he's there. He will be there. Voters have short memories.
Meanwhile, though, the Illinois Republican Party has a transfer of leadership. New chair just elected this afternoon, Kathy Salvey. She's going to be starting right after the RNC ends, literally the day after. Who is she and what does she bring to the table, Marianne?
Well, she's an attorney and she ran for office as against Tammy Duckworth, obviously did not win, as well as her husband, Al Salvey, both of them quite successful. And he ran for Senate as well.
Mm-hmm. And she ran for Congress at one point.
And she lost in the primary. Yes. So interesting that she really wants to be a big part of the future of the Republican Party. First woman to have this position, I believe, right?
I believe so.
And there was a three-way race. And so, yeah, I think it will be interesting because so far, while Don Tracy had lovely Friday memos, I never heard from him other than that.
So to have someone be more media friendly, one would think.
But Don Tracy is the one who's going to be leading the delegation up there.
Yes.
So they leave him in place, and the fight between the moderates and the conservatives.
Yeah, is this awkward?
It is awkward, but then again, the Republicans have been walking that tightrope for decades.
I remember talking
with Jim Edgar, you know, a former governor, about this, you know, maybe, 15 years ago?
Has it reached a new level, though, Craig? Is this at a point where there was always sort of a peace and that is no longer there, which is why you had Chair Tracy literally say, it is because of infighting that I am stepping down from this position?
I don't think it's reached. I think what had happened is the power has shifted. Tim Schneider came in 8 years ago, or a little bit more than 8 years ago, and shepherded the party through. But it's been the same fight for decades in Illinois, and now the power has finally shifted. If you get a president on the conservative, on the right-wing side, well, that's going to make everybody's going to have to fall in line, and they are.
Timon, who wants this job, given all of that just acrimony?
Yeah, and you're losing sort of solid moderates like a Jim Durkin and then a Darren Bailey who, you know, can't win a primary. So those extremes are playing out. Think about it. They belong to the same party. That's got to sort itself out.
And Heather, what do we make of this going forward? Again, we're covering the RNC. Were we going to see this open, do you suppose? Or is this more of a hidden fight?
Yeah, that's the big question. Will these disputes sort of spill out during the convention when it's supposed to be a time to sort of rally the party faithful and celebrate and raise money?
And how do you do that?
I bet the answer is no.
Tracy put out a statement basically saying that we are solidly unified behind Donald Trump.
And there's no way that you cross him. For example, the party took out of the platform calling for a national ban on abortion, sanctity of life. Mike Pence objected to that and urged the delegates to reverse it. But, you know, the platform sort of reads like the president on the golf course sort of, you know, dictated to them what it should be, and that's what it'll be.
Pence doesn't have sway anymore. Donald Trump does. It is his party, and we will be covering that all next week. Thanks for talking about us with us this evening. That is our show for this Friday night. Be sure to join us next week for special coverage of the Republican National Convention. We will be live at 5:30 and 10 each convention night following PBS News Hour. Now, we are ending this program on a bittersweet note. After 27 years at WTTW. It is farewell to Alex Sillitz. She produced this edition of Week in Review, as she has countless other Fridays. She is a bulldog with a kind heart, and the entire news staff is going to miss her tenacity, her integrity, and her cut-to-the-chase approach. Thanks so much for all of that, Alex, and we wish you the best. Now for the Week in Review, I'm Amanda Vinicky. Thank you for watching. Stay healthy and safe, and have a good night. I forgot, of course, wait, to thank our guests.
Chicago Tonight is made possible in part by the Alexandra and John Nichols family, the Polk Brothers Foundation. Additional support is provided by
And thanks, by the way, I want to make sure that I thank each of you, and that is Tamon Bradley of WGN, Heather Sharone, of course, of WTTW, Marianne Ahern of NBC5, and Craig Dillamore of WBBM. Yes, we had news breaking, Heather, just this afternoon.
Indictments of the Loretto Hospital former CFO apparently looted the safety net of the hospital to the tune of $15 million. The reports out of the Tribune are that he has fled to Dubai to escape justice. This is the hospital Mayor Lori Lightfoot chose to receive the first COVID vaccines, a black eye.
Yes. Friday night Chicago type story, huh?
Yeah. Wow. I know. There was such momentum.
Closed captioning is made possible by Robert A. Clifford and Clifford Law Offices, a Chicago personal injury and wrongful death firm that is proud to recognize its founder and senior partner, Robert Clifford, who ranked number one in the state of Illinois by Super Lawyers Top 10 2024 Illinois Super Lawyers List.